praise and thanks be unto the Lord. If we could believe it, what we have sung, then we would see the glory of God. And because it is correct, we may not only believe it, but we may know that it is so. The God of Israel does not lie. He himself is the truth. And whatsoever he promised, this he keeps for sure. He has given the promise and he stands to it. If he would not have meant it this way, he would not have said it. We say sometimes things which we don't mean, and we don't say what we mean. But God always means what he says, and says what he means. It is not long ago that a sister who was in trouble, she phoned and said, "If the Lord Jesus would be here, then I would go to him." And I was inwardly sad, and I thought by myself, who are we that we can doubt that he is here? He said, "I am with you all days until the end of the world." He said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them." Who are we that we doubt this? The Lord is here. And I was pricked in my heart. And I thought, if he could just open our spiritual eyes and give us more trust and more faith, then we would see the glory of God. We are time and again grateful to God for every hour and opportunity which we have to hear his word, to deepen ourselves in it, to know his plan of salvation better. But in connection with it, the longing gets greater and greater for a deeper fellowship with God, that he could come more to his right than until now. When I asked Brother Danseisen how the trip was, there he probably didn't even answer my question. He just said, "We have come in great expectation." And this really made me speechless at the moment. I thought he would answer my question, and he has neither spoken of the weather nor of the trip. Spontaneously, he said, "We have come in great expectation." And then I knew very well, I can give nothing. And then I said, "The Lord will not disappoint us." I believe this is the secret. At the moment it seemed that I would not have the answer, because I knew that I can give nothing. But I also know that the Lord can give everything, and he has given it. And no one who comes to him will go from him as he came. He who comes to a man will walk away more disappointed. But he who comes to the Lord cannot be disappointed. No one who puts his trust in him will be put to shame. We welcome in a special way our French-speaking brethren. We are glad that we can be joined in the love of God. The love of God bridges everything. All nationalities, everything has become one in Christ, provided we have become true believers. Many things could be reported of that what God is doing today in the late afternoon. I had a phone call from Paris. After many, many years, our old brother Jacques phoned. And I was so happy. You can remember it. Many years ago, we baptized him here, and then we didn't hear anything anymore. But I have often thought of him. And he said, or he asked, "How are you? When will you come to Paris?" And I said, "On the 1st of May." And then he said, "Then I will rent the hall." I'm convinced that God is working on the hearts of the people. They will stop looking on themselves, looking on others and on circumstances, and they will trust the Lord, walking forward by faith. There's nothing else left for us. He that persevereth until the end, he will be crowned. That the Lord could still help us therein, that we would have an understanding how we have to handle the armor of God, how we could hold our ground, how we could carry out the matter of God in a right way by His grace and by His power. I hope that it is not recorded right now. These meetings are among ourselves at this weekend. It is just that we have fellowship. And I must say, I have been blessed already by the word that was read. And you noticed, also there it speaks of the coming of the Lord, but not of His coming for the rapture. Did you notice it? But rather of His coming when He makes the reckoning with the enemies. I have promised that we will speak about the various comings of the Lord. And we'll also write about it. It is so important to place everything into the right context. If we, for instance, read here in 2 Thessalonians, in chapter 1, here it says, in the second part of verse 7, 2 Thessalonians 1, second part of verse 7, and then verse 8. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Evangelium unseres Herrn Jesus nicht gehört haben oder der Heilsbotschaft keinen Glauben oder kein Gehör geschenkt haben.
When the Lord comes for the rapture, then He doesn't come to take vengeance. Then He comes as bridegroom to take His beloved bride home. And His bride meets Him halfway. We will be taken up and He comes down. And we meet Him in the air and are then taken to Him and be with Him at all times. But when then comes the reckoning with them who have not believed, then He comes in anger, then He comes with fire. The day of the Lord will burn as an oven. On that day the wicked shall be like stubble, and the day of the Lord will burn them. So we can clearly distinguish another coming is again the coming when he will put his feet upon the Mount of Olives that will then split. Another revelation is when he in Revelation 14 on Mount Zion is shown with the 144,000. Something else it is again when he in Revelation 10 descends as the angel of the covenant, putting one foot upon land and the other on the sea, and swears by him who lives forever that time shall be no more. Everything, different connections, and yet, God willing, we will place them. Actually, all this is wonderfully put in order by God. One just needs to let himself be placed into the divine order to then find the divine order in the Word. This is actually the whole secret. I planned on this weekend to read from a sermon of Brother Branham, but also from the Holy Scripture. You all know that the sermons are heard all over and that they can be read at home. If we come to this place, then we refer to some subjects or sermons to then emphasize again in a special way what was emphasized by Revelation, to emphasize what was emphasized, to preach what was preached. And I believe we can say with a good conscience, we did not add anything to the revealed word, and we have taken nothing away from it. We believe with all our heart that God has sent his servant and prophet to bring us the final message. But until the end, may God give us discernment and let us know that all worship and all praise and glory belongs to him, the Almighty, alone, and to not one single man, not one, also to no prophet, to no angel, to no one, only God alone. And this is where we differ from many brothers who are acquainted with Eastern Europe, especially with Poland, with the situation there. They remember when the visit from the USA came there with the revelation of the seven thunders, and two suits of Brother Branham were cut in pieces to give to everyone something of this suit. And the people were fighting for it, to take a little piece of this suit to their homes. We don't need any suit. We don't need idolatry. What we need is the Holy Spirit, who leads us into all truth, divine illumination and reverence before that what he has done. We appreciate what God has done, and we respect his decisions. It was his decision in our generation to call a man whom no man would have called. No one would have thought to call this hillbilly, but God called him. I don't know who it was. Oh, my son-in-law and my eldest daughter. I think it was the day before yesterday, we spoke with one another in the office, and we looked at the book with some pictures, probably from the life story of Brother Branham. And I must honestly say, when I saw this wooden shack, this old wooden hut in which this man was born, then I started to weep. I just was touched so deep in my heart. I looked at this wooden hut, skew and half collapsed, and I could remember When Brother Branham said, when we were young and we slept on the second floor, when it was snowing, the wind was blowing the snow inside. When it rained, it became wet. And in winter, our mother gave us cod liver oil that we get over the cold. I thought by myself, that what is nothing in the world, this God has chosen to bring to naught the wisdom of this world. To be poorer was not possible. I don't know in which sermon it is, probably in the one which we published just now, or in the one which we publish in the next future. In any case, Brother Branham speaks there of his childhood, of his time at school, and he says, I had neither a shirt nor an undershirt to put on. I only had a jacket, and I had to close it with a fixing pin, and that's how I went to school. And you can imagine, he was mocked by all the others. And the teacher said, William, come and heat up the oven. And she also, you know what I mean. And he says, then something came up in me against the women, because it was a she teacher. Also he was just a human being, but God led it in such a way that he had to go through so many troubles, through so many hardships, to later on be able to feel with the people. He was not arrogant to the people. Just the contrary. He had divine compassion. I remember here one event, one situation, when somebody came to him, you also read it, and the man said to him, if you have the same authority as Paul had it, then strike me with blindness. And I'm convinced God would have granted it to him. He just would have to speak one word and it would have happened. But this man says with a wistful heart, how could I strike you with blindness? You are already struck with blindness. And he had such a deep compassion in his heart. I ask myself, what would we have done with divine authority? We would have taken this challenge and would have made use of it. But here, there was the love of God that goes beyond all thinking, beyond all that what we would have done. And this is the majestic, not bossiness, not know-it-all, not looking down on others, but being submissive to God and to serve the people with a gift that God has given him. Another wish we also don't have than to do for what we have been called to, with a holy calling from the mouth of the Lord. No other call can come forth than a holy one. We all have been called with this holy call to believe the Lord, to follow him, to serve him, and to be available for him. I still remember another incident that you can remember very well, when a young couple came in and one took the other on the lap in the meeting, and the Spirit of God said, whatever you say will happen with this couple, because everything at its place, but not in the house of God and not in the presence of God. And what was it? He prayed for the salvation of their souls. You all know these stories, but this is it, what makes this man of God so outstanding. Not the teaching alone, not the prophetic revelation, not the mighty ministry. He was also, as a man, a man with a heart, a feeling that God has laid into him. May we have a bit more from the Lord, a bit more of his nature, of his feeling. I tell you, in the past time, not seldom, I was among people who think differently, who believe differently, and who walk different ways. But also there, I had to learn to put myself into their situation. And I must say, it's not a criticism, no judging, just the contrary. More gratefulness has come up in my heart. Especially one bishop who told me in this and that city, I was in a meeting of Brother Branham on the platform, and I arranged the meeting and have seen what God has done. And if one then hears that somebody who many years ago was watching what God has done, giving his input, arranging meetings, and today walks on his own way with a high rank and reputation without walking the way of God. It's a pain. When I wanted to tell him something about Brother Branham, then he said, listen, let me speak first. And then he really had to say much, even that there was no man as this man of God whom he ever met on earth. And when it then comes to the message, then it's a different thing. So let us thank the Lord that we found grace in the sight of God in these days. Also about this we will still speak. The right answer can only come from God, and only God can give it. We as people, although we are very close to the Lord, we are still able to give a wrong answer. Today I read you one from Mary, and then another one from another lady in the Holy Scripture. The first from Luke, Luke chapter 2, one moment, Luke chapter 2, yes, as the first. Here we read from verse 41, Luke chapter 2, from verse 41, you can read. I read from verse 44, but they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. Let us stop here for a moment. Mary and Joseph returned from Jerusalem back home, and they found out that the Savior, who was 12 years old, was not with them. And they were looking for him at their kinsfolk and acquaintance, and he was not there. I belong to them who hardly can wait to say at the end what shall be said. Usually I say it right at the beginning. There are people who have a special talent to keep the last things until the end. To me, this is just not given. They continued to search for him. And it says here, when they didn't find him there, they returned to Jerusalem and looked for him there. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. What did Mary say here? What did she say here? Thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Who was Joseph? Joseph was not the father. And she says here, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. He was pricked in his heart. He corrects her on the spot. We read verse 49. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? Here he didn't mean Joseph. Here he means the house of God. You see the correction? Right away, the correction. Mary spoke human-wise. The Lord spoke divine. He corrected her on the spot and said, Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? Not carpentry in Nazareth, but temple in Jerusalem. Correction on the spot. For us, almost incomprehensible that Mary could say something like this. And yet it shows us that all are just humans who walk on earth. There was only one God-man, and this was Jesus Christ our Lord. From his mouth, nothing else came forth but the pure truth. People can be mistaken. Just remember the prophet Nathan, I think it was him, who said to David, Do everything what is in your heart, and the Lord will be with you. And on the next day, he had to return and correct himself. He had to rectify, for in the meantime, the word of the Lord, the correction came. Go and tell my servant David that he had the wish in his heart to build me a house. It shall be imputed to him, but he shall not build me a house. His son will do it. The prophet meant well. He said, Do everything what is in your heart. The Lord will be with you. But there he didn't prophesy. There he listened what David said, and he agreed with him also as a prophet. But there he did not prophesy. There he spoke humanly as a prophet. Do everything what is in your heart. But after the word of the Lord came to him, he returned. Then it was no more, do what is in your heart. Now came that what was in the heart of God. Now not the will of David came, but the will of God came forth. Now came the thus saith the Lord. How grateful we can be that God gave grace to those close to him, even if they said something awkward, and then corrected them, and that they accepted the correction, and then they responded to that what the Lord said to them. This is grace. Us as humans, each one of us, it can happen that we do something or say something that is not pleasing to the Lord. This is not so terrible. May God prevent it. But if it happens, then it would be human. But if we are then teachable, if we receive correction and are ready to let the word speak to us, this is grace. There we are corrected, and behold, we are helped. So, they were looking for the Lord when he was 12 years old at their relatives and in Jerusalem. But he was there where they left him, namely in the temple. Also, only there we will find the Lord. Only there. He can be found there where he revealed himself. And today we will read some things from the sermon, God's provided place of worship. But let me read a second place, also in Luke. Luke chapter 11. Here was a woman in the crowd who suddenly spoke out a blessedness which truly could not remain like this. Luke chapter 11, verse 27 and 28. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. Note the next verse. What is the womb? What are the paps? What shall be blessed on that, or to be praised? In verse 28 we read, But he said, Yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Right away the correction. Not earthy, the vessel, but divinely that what matters, namely the word. And Jesus was the word made flesh. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Hallelujah. Not breasts and womb and this and that, but that what matters, the divine. And that's what matters here at this place. I'm so grateful to the Lord, and I hope, trust and believe that he will keep us until the end, that we will discern between a service and idolatry, and that we give him, the living God, forever and ever, all the praise, all the glory, and all the worship. I would like, before we read some quotes, read the prayer which Brother Branham, before he preached his sermon, has sent to the throne of God. He says here, Dear Heavenly Father, we certainly deem this a privilege to be here today in this city of Los Angeles and amongst these, the believers, the elected, that's been called out of the world, separated children of God, in this great hour that we are living, under this great expectation of the appearing of our lover, the Lord Jesus, at any time. We thank thee for this in our heart, that we believe that he will come in our generation. We are looking for him today. If he isn't here today, and we are here tomorrow, we'll be looking for him tomorrow. It were not just words. I will read on just now. It was part of his being. It was such a living hope, an expectation in him for the coming of the Lord. How many years later is it now? And we truly ask ourselves, how is it with our expectation? When I sometime in these days had reason for singing and have sung again, it doesn't happen every day, I admit that openly, but there I felt like singing. And I asked myself, how many of my brothers and sisters can pray in their homes and sing at their homes, praising and thanking in their homes, or how many do it only in our meetings? May God make people out of us who bear the praise and worship in them, who bear thankfulness in them, who go to bed with it, who get up with it, be it at day or at night, pondering on the word of the Lord. And I dare to say, if we emphasize the good things which God has done on us, then joy comes up. If we look at the negative things or what people want to do to us, then we are sad. What does the man of God say? What can man do to me? For your and my salvation, the Lord alone is responsible. And we believe that He saved us through the bath of the new birth, as it is written. Let us read on. Dear God, we pray that this meeting will be just a special meeting. May it be a time that it will make a record for the church advancement that will be on your books in eternity. Bless every feeble effort that we put forth, Father. We realize that we are a total failure without you. So therefore, we must have you, Lord, so that we can continue. And we do not want this for our own glory. We want this for your glory. For that's our heart's desire, is to see Jesus glorified in His people, to strengthen the faith of those, Lord, in this day when the battle is so hard. We have come in for this revival among us, and a retreat, a refreshment. We pray that you will grant all these things to us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Are also not our prayers along these thoughts? Is this not our wish? Lord, glorify thy name. Confirm thy word. Quicken us. Revive us. Let the dead bones come together, being put together, so that something happens, especially that His name is glorified among His people. This is also our wish. It is about God's place of worship. Before we read the word which Brother Branham was reading, let me read from the Gospel of John, chapter 4, the well-known place, John, chapter 4, from verse 19. Here the Lord says to the woman, the Samaritan, John 4, from verse 19, the woman says unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Perhaps so far, this word, not only can, must. Another worship does not ascend to the throne of God at all. God is spirit, and it must be a worship in the spirit, a spirit-worked prayer. Not the sight, not the place, but that what the spirit, under the proclamation of the word, which is spirit and life, works in us. This ascends as thankfulness to the throne of God. The same the Lord would say to us today, believe me, woman, or believe me, man. We can confidently say, today, if it would be addressed to us, he would say, believe me, women and men, believe me, the hour comes where no more in Jerusalem with the lips is prayed and one is far away with the heart, but where it is being worshipped in spirit and in truth. Do we also believe it? Jesus prayed. He said, woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. The hour has come. God has true worshippers. They don't go on a holy mountain, not into a holy city. They come into the presence of the holy God in reverence. With all their heart, they see their weaknesses, they bow before God, they submit under the grace, under the blood, and if they have bowed their face to the earth, then God raises them up again. And we not only sing it, but it's correct. I look up to heaven, where one praises you in the heavenly choir. There are moments in the presence of God, there the spirit and the soul tears away from the earthy, from that what is heavy and wants to draw back, and we swing ourselves up in the spirit to worship God. And in the same song, the hymn writer sings in the last stanza of the higher ground upon which we, the believers, were placed. Please let us remember this word when we will read some passages or scriptures, especially the scripture which Brother Branham placed this sermon on from Deuteronomy chapter 16. He read a large number of verses. I will just read the second verse, Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 2. Thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto the Lord thy God of the flock and the herd in the place which the Lord shall choose to place his name there. Here we have a great mystery. Not where we want, not as we would like, but there where God wants and how God likes. Own services are all over the world. Own programs, a large number of them. God seeks people to whom he can speak. As we said earlier, who have respect before his decisions and who see that what he does, not what they want to do themselves, but what he does. Here a command went forth. The sacrifices should be given at that place that the Lord has chosen, namely that place that he would choose. There he would also place his name. He remains the same throughout all eternities. He chooses the place, the time. He leads everything. We know where this leads to Christ our Lord, in whom he revealed himself and who had his name. There was no other one on earth who had this name. I would like to read from the mentioned sermon on page 5, on top the first passage. And that's the law that Christians must live by. It doesn't depend on what we do, but what he has done for us. Christ has already been sacrificed. Not he will be. He has been. It is a finished work. He lived, died, rose again, ascended into heaven, has come back in the form of the Holy Ghost. So it's a finished work for God. Christ, knowing no sin, became my sin, that I might stand in his place. He took my place. I was in him at Calvary when he died. There I must die with him to live, because the law of sin and death is in the body. You have to die to be reconciled with him. Oh, what precious thoughts! Here the one law is compared with the other law. The law of death to the law of life. Christ took our place. He was ordained by God. What did we read here recently in the prophet Isaiah chapter 42? Mine elect, in whom I'm well pleased. It's about election, about foreordination, about what God intends to do. Christ was ordained before the foundation of the world to be born, to suffer, to die, to be buried, to descend, to rise, to ascend. Before the foundation of the world, he was chosen as Redeemer. For God knew that something would get lost, and because man got lost in the body of flesh and was delivered to sin, to the fiefdom of Satan, therefore he who is spirit had to prepare himself a body to settle here in the body of flesh, in our state, once for all the account, to atone for our sin and to give forgiveness. Here we have read it. The Lord did everything. He was the elect. He was the one who was ordained, as Paul and Peter and all the apostles proclaimed it, foreordained from A to Z. God knew what would be and what would not be, and thus he could determine all things in advance. I read on page 6, the little passage in the middle, and then the 6 lines. Now remember, he has a provided place, one place alone, where he will meet his believing children. Anywhere else won't work. Only one place, one site, not here and there, but one point. God has a point of reference. God has a manifestation place on earth. How often we did say it here? We can only meet God there where he met with us. And there's only one in whom God met with mankind. God has spoken through many, through all the prophets. But personally, God met with mankind in Jesus Christ our Lord. And only in him we can meet God personally. There we have the place, there we have the site. And if we come to God, then we come via Calvary. The way is free, the veil is torn. Brother Rus emphasized it concerning the songs. They were dealing with the light. We are no longer in darkness. We are in the light. Oh, what a thankfulness should arise in us. Our Lord said it. He who follows me will not remain in darkness, but have the light of life. If we truly follow him, then we go from clarity to clarity and from truth to truth. That's the way of God. And I believe with all my heart that God leads us on this way. Really, from light to light and from clarity to clarity. Remember, he has a provided place, only one place where he meets his believing children. Mostly it lacks on our trust, on our faith, in the finished work of redemption on Calvary. If we could only focus always on that, bearing it in our hearts, that God has reconciled us with himself in Christ, that this is an irrevocable divine truth throughout eternity. This cannot be shaken. This is a divine fact. And we believe it. We can believe God. I read on. And yet Jesus said, who was God in the shape of a man and who walked amongst us, in vain do you worship me. He didn't say that they didn't serve him. They worshipped him, but in vain. And this is a very serious word. Not worship alone, not praise and worship, not alone singing, but singing in the Spirit, praising in the Spirit, preaching in the Spirit, hearing in the Spirit, becoming one with God in the Spirit, to penetrate, to be lifted up, as we said earlier, on higher ground, to come into agreement with God, and then it's right. Also then, when we with human eyes cannot put all things together. They worshipped, but in vain. They worshipped God. They were singing psalms, the same psalms that we read today. They were singing. And everything was done for God, and God didn't notice it. Why not? They didn't recognize the hour of God's visitation. They had no part in what God was doing in the plan of salvation. They remained spiritually behind with Moses, with the prophets, and recognized not that the hour was there in which was fulfilled of what Moses and all the prophets were speaking and writing. The prophets were speaking in the Spirit. It was written down in the Spirit. John prepared the way in the Spirit. Now they should have followed. But they were bound in such a way, in the traditions, that they didn't see what God has done. Don't we live now in a similar situation? Everything is bound with traditions. Religiously, most wonderful choirs, we cannot compete here. Oh, how they play and sing in all pitches to the highest tone, and God doesn't hear, and God doesn't see. God has a program, God has a plan, and God revealed Himself in Jesus Christ. And I tell you already now, right in 1 John, in chapter 5, in verse 20, there it speaks of Jesus Christ our Lord, and His divinity is emphasized. And in verse 21, there's one little sentence, "Children, beware of idols." I tell you, we will still come to it, and this is the scripture to which we will come tomorrow, that not everybody can do what he likes, but God has a plan. God has a program. God knows what He wants. Only we need to want what He wants and must recognize His will. Not only worship, worship according to the Word of God, worship in the Spirit of God. They worshipped in vain. I read on. Everything what is in vain, this is useless. It's of no value. You should never do it, for it is just a waste of time. You waste your breath. It is in vain. Until we recognize what we shall do. How many make efforts and take a deep breath? And I don't say this lightly. I came to know the various religions. Didn't I see the multitudes of Muslims lying on their faces? Didn't I watch how they pray in rhythm, raising their voices to God and groan and mourn? And yet God cannot hear them because they don't hear Him. Only then, when we heard God, then God will hear us. Only then, when God could speak to us, then we can speak to God. This is the way of all things. No Abraham could have spoken to God if God would not have spoken to him first. No Moses could have spoken with the Lord if the Lord would not have spoken to him first. You can go from prophet to prophet, be it the Old, be it the New Testament, until this very day. Let us thank the Lord at this occasion that He has spoken to us in a manifold way. When I think about the speaking of the Lord through His Word and through His Spirit, then there's only one thing left. So much as all the prophets and apostles thanked together, so we should thank together. For God has given us everything. What He has given them individually in the various epochs and at various times. I still read the two last lines on page 6. If God expects people to be perfect, as Jesus said, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect," there must be some preparation somewhere. And he said, I will choose the place that the people will worship me. No other place will I meet them. Now, that's got to be that place. And we ought to seek it out. Find out where it's at. And then go there. I think we should turn there quickly when we find the place, leaving other things alone. Yes, we would have never found it. He found us. He has taken care for us. And now we recognized who he is. Now we can worship. Earlier, this is not even possible. I mean now, that worship that our Lord meant when he said, Woman, believe me, the time comes where neither on the mountain nor in Jerusalem, but where God will be worshipped in the Spirit. We all believe it, that this time has really come. When did the time come? When does the time come? It always repeats. Since Pentecost, when the Spirit was poured out and the Word was preached, then the Spirit and the Word worked together in all them who believed the Word. In them the Spirit of God could work, and people could swing up in the Spirit of God. And as Paul says at one place, I want to thank God in the Spirit and in understanding. Both has its place. Mostly we start with understanding. The first words we probably first have to seek. But suddenly we feel who we are not seeking anymore. But as the Spirit gives us by divine inspiration the words and the thoughts into the heart, and it comes to a true worship in the Spirit, I wished that the Lord would succeed after the teaching to bring us by the Spirit into the right worship, into an atmosphere in which God can manifest himself, in which Jesus Christ can walk in our midst to confirm his word and do again what he did at that time when he walked on this earth. How many believe that this is possible? How many believe that he is the same? How many believe that he will do it? He cannot do otherwise than to do what he promised. I read now in the middle on page 7. Notice the second verse. Sacrifice in the place that I have chosen. Chosen what? In this place shows that he has a place where all people worship. Other places are in vain. And in this same place, he said, I have chosen also to put my name in this place. I'll choose a place and I'll put my name in it, in this place that he's going to worship. Now this shows that there is one place, just one. It must be God's choosing. It can't be ours. We have no choice coming. He's already chose it. Now, what God chooses is right. I can choose wrong. You can choose wrong. But God cannot. God's choice is right. This we believe with all our heart. mein elect, in whom I am well pleased, and who will do all my will. Only to whom Christ really reveals himself, only he who can say, the revelation of Jesus Christ was given to me, he will recognize God after the Spirit in Christ, who in his earthy shape was man. He had to be man for the sake of men. The people saw the outward. Therefore, the Savior said to Philip at that time, so long I am with you, and you still ask, show us the Father? Have you not recognized that he who sees me sees the Father, and that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? God made a choice, and all the elect by God, they will recognize Jesus Christ as the central point of the divine revelation for mankind, and will thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And this is then worship in the Spirit. This is true worship which reaches God, not a worship where one has to think about, whom do you thank now first? Who is greater? Who is smaller? Who comes next? This is no worship in the Spirit. God is worshipped in Christ and through Christ our Lord, for in him he revealed himself. This is God's manifestation place here on this earth. Therefore, Paul could write, we thank God at all times through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. I tell you, this overwhelms me. The whole world lies in wickedness. They walk on their own way. They neither recognized what God has done, nor do they know what it is about. Those elect by God, they recognize what God has done in Christ, and they come to the point that they can worship in spirit and in truth. Once again, let it be emphasized. Jesus said, woman, believe me, and we believe him today as men and women. We believe him. The time has come where not something is said with the lips in Jerusalem, and also not here at this place, not on any mountain, but there where God's people recognized that God revealed himself in Christ, that the Father was manifested in the Son. There it is being worshipped in the Spirit and in truth. May the Lord give us today this certain something that should come forth by revelation. Maybe it doesn't fit here now, but Brother Branham has said it in the seals of the wine and of the oil, when it was said, don't hurt the oil and wine. Then Brother Branham says, the oil is an indication to the Holy Spirit who reveals all things, and the wine to the stimulation, to that what a man feels after he got the things revealed by the Spirit. Thus it must become with us. If we truly received the revelation of the Spirit, then the stimulation must come forth, and then it's right. Then there is worship in the Spirit, worship that lifts off of the earth. Why? Because we believe that we were reconciled with God on Calvary. Because we believe that we died with Christ, being crucified with him, that we were buried with him, and that we rose with him unto a new life, knowing that he made us sons and daughters of God. God has not only chosen the one who should redeem, he has also chosen the redeemed. Everything is election. Everything foreordination. Peter said then, all this happened according to God's counsel, determined before. In the same way it is today. God has a counsel, and this counsel comes now to its completion, to its finishing. May God give me and all of us grace that also we come to the point where we can worship in spirit and in truth. Prayers that reach the throne of God. Prayers that are worked by the Spirit. May God bless us all. Amen. Let us stand up and worship. With all our hearts we thank you that all to whom you have spoken, they were permitted to worship you. And they did it. They knew to whom they speak, for they knew who has spoken with them. Faithful Lord, in the same way it is today, not a mountain, not a city. Lord, there's only one in whom the name of God was manifested on earth. There was only one who could say, "He who sees me sees the Father." Only one is Emmanuel, God with us. We worship you, Almighty God, in Jesus Christ, our Lord, the place of thy manifestation. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We are not worthy. We are not worthy. But thou art worthy to be worshipped with praise, with songs, with psalms. For you are true. You spoke with us. And therefore we may also speak with you. Your holy anointing rests on us, your people, who we have heard your word. Lord, we believe it with all our heart, and we give you the glory in Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. 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 To you, the Lord, the true God. O Lord, my God, there is the true service where you reveal yourself in truth and where you people come together in reverence before your name, before your word, before your revelation. Because you speak with us, we may also speak with you. Lord, we want to take off our shoes and fall down in your presence. Hallelujah. Faithful Savior, after all the teaching, give us grace in your presence, Lord, that an holy divine atmosphere could come about, worked by your Holy Spirit. As your blood-bought flock, we stand here, O Lord, in the faith that nothing condemnable can be on those whom you justified through your divine blood on the cross of Calvary. You accomplished a complete work, a perfect redemption you have given, forgiveness and grace, salvation and peace. Thanks be to you, the living God, on this evening for such a grace which was given to us. May we honor you by faith and obedience. Give us courage, O Lord. May you strengthen the knees and the hands anew, that they are established, and that we arise anew to serve you, to follow you, to believe you. Bless all my beloved brothers and sisters. Lord, they don't come here for the sake of a city or of a place that has just a roof. They come here to worship in spirit and in truth. They come to hear of God. O faithful Lord, we thank you. You don't disappoint us. You blessed us already. Hallelujah. Praise, honor, and glory to your wonderful and holy name. Hallelujah.